Welcome to Cannabis Connection World Podcast, where cannabis connectors meet and discuss the gospel truth of cannabis, the plant connecting the planet.
In this episode of Cannabis Connection World, Cannabis Clash will cover more about House Bill 645, which had some forward momentum this week in the Georgia legislative session. I will speak with Senator Michael Williams, who is also running for governor, and we will discuss House Bill 645 as well. We will also discuss what he will do as governor to move us forward in the cannabis industry. And finally, I will review more events coming up in the state on the Cannabis Connection calendar. So sit back and relax as I serve you this cannabis content rolled up perfectly for your consumption.
Cannabis Class, the importance of Georgia House Bill 645 passing in legislation this session.
Last episode, I talked about the passing of Haley's HOPE Act in 2015. The program legalized medical marijuana for patients with certain qualifying conditions and a doctor's approval. Under the act, patients could possess up to 20 ounces of low THC marijuana, but it did not allow cannabis businesses to operate in the state, limiting access to the drug. Many were perplexed that the program allows for use of medical cannabis, but the state does not allow cultivation, manufacturing, and dispensing of marijuana. We also discussed what State Representative Alan Peek has done to get legislation passed to support safe access to the plant. Well, the newest piece of legislation in his arsenal is House Bill 645. Since 2016, legislators added 8 diseases to the list of qualifying diagnoses that illegally allows them possession of cannabis oil. So for the last year, more than 3,400 registered patients or their caregivers are forced to become criminals to obtain their medicine, illegally shipping it in or going to another state to retrieve it and bring it back across state lines. The only option for these desperate individuals was to break the law just to get their medicine. On Wednesday, Georgia got one step closer to expanding the state's medical marijuana program. The Georgia Medical Cannabis Working Group voted unanimously in favor of moving House Bill 645 forward, recommending that the bill be considered by the House Judiciary Non-Civil Committee. The proposed legislation would allow cannabis businesses to operate in the state, opening up opportunities for cultivation, manufacturing, and dispensing of medical low THC cannabis. The new bill would give Georgians access to 10 medical marijuana dispensaries throughout the state. 2 businesses will be issued licenses for the cultivation and production of low THC medical marijuana. Georgia colleges and universities will be offered first right of refusal for production facility licenses. If they choose not to exercise this option, the state will open a sealed competitive bid process for production licenses. Now is the time to show up at the Capitol, email, call, and harass your representatives and your state senators. The session does not end until March 29th. We have seen what happens when our elected officials see and hear their constituents. They know they will no longer have the privilege of serving us if they do not vote the way we want. I am asking all you cannabis connectors out there for your support. Everyone might not be able to show up at the Capitol, but at least pick up the phone. Tell your elected officials how they should be voting on this bill and stop forcing our sick people to become criminals. House Bill 645 provides safe access to life-saving medicine that patients in Georgia so desperately need. That's enough for Cannabis Class for today. Next episode, we kick off our medical marijuana series, learning the medicinal uses of cannabis and understanding why it should not be categorized by the federal government as a Schedule I drug. Up next, my interview with Senator Michael Williams, who is also running for Georgia governor this year. He discusses his own experience at the Capitol while Haley's HOPE Act was in legislation and how the empathy he felt for those families was because of his own personal family experience.
Thank you again for joining me, Senator Michael Williams, for being on the Cannabis Connection World podcast. I appreciate you taking out the time of your busy schedule to share some moments with us and answer some questions regarding cannabis and the cannabis industry in the state of Georgia. Let's start with who you are and what it is that you do.
Well, sure. Well, first of all, thank you, Nicole, for having me on. It's a pleasure, something we've been looking forward to now for, I think, a couple of months. We've been trying to get this on the calendar and schedule, so I appreciate your patience and working with us. First of all, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I am, like so many other Georgians out there, a business guy, a CPA, and I just kind of grew tired of a government that cares more about the lobbyists, the special interests, and big corporations than they do the people they're supposed to represent. And a big part of kind of the drive for me to get involved in politics was Obamacare. I had 160 employees with my business. I used to own a franchise called Sport Clips Haircuts. I had 18 locations, and I just didn't see how my company, my small company, could afford the weight that Obamacare has become with the increased costs and premiums and all that. So, again, just frustrated with government, I ran for the Senate, elected. I beat a longtime entrenched incumbent, been down there for years. I was excited to have the opportunity to serve the people of Forsyth County, the district I represent, go down the Capitol, and actually try to make a difference. And I realized really quickly that, again, our government is controlled by lobbyists, special interests, and big corporations. And we see that with cannabis, the pharmaceutical industries, and how they are kind of controlling the narrative and the talk around cannabidiol oil and their prevention of helping it to move forward and kind of come out of the shadows and into the mainstream.
Well, thank you for even recognizing that. There are a lot of politicians out there that won't take the time to even recognize that. We first met at Peachtree Normal meeting in Atlanta, then in the one in Columbus. Thank you for coming in and talking with us. You're the first candidate to do so. And you told a personal family story then. How has that experience formed your views on the use of cannabis for medicinal use?
It was a pleasure talking to everybody there in Columbus. My father, he served in Vietnam, and when he came back, he was diagnosed with bipolar manic depression, and I believe that he also suffered from PTSD. And I just remember growing up that I didn't always really know how my dad was going to behave or act, or sometimes I'd come home and he'd be outside with this little bell ringing it, singing Life's a Joke in his underwear, just running up and down the streets. Other days he'd be in the fetal position, curled up in the corner of his closet, just kind of scared something or somebody was going to get him. And he eventually ended up taking his own life when I was 14 years old. And the very first, the year before I got elected, I went down to the Capitol, what's called Sinai, it's the very last day of session. And that night, a lot of the families and children that were hoping that medical marijuana would be voted out of both the House and the Senate and hopefully signed by the governor, they were let down. They were disappointed, again, because of some political games that were being played. I remember just them walking out and how sad they were. Many of them just crying because they lost out an opportunity for this medicine that could dramatically improve the lives of their children, their family members. And I kind of just related that to myself. How had this been readily available and been more, talked about, it could have, at minimum, extended the life of my father, and at most, had him alive still today, where we could enjoy his company and his friendship and that bond that a father and son have. So this issue is very personal to me. And then on top of that, my son, my oldest son, he had an accident about 2.5 years ago where he hit his head on a skateboarding accident, and they had to take off both sides of his skull. And he was in a coma for about 9 days. And I remember during those 9 days that as his father, as my son, lying there basically in death's grasp, that I would do anything that I could as his father to help save him and protect him. And it just, again, those parents, those families, they just kind of echoed in my head as I was going through that. And again, so this is a very, very personal issue to me now.
Thank you for sharing your story. And so many of us out there that have a personal story of some sort that help us to understand that maybe, just maybe, cannabis should not be categorized as a Schedule I drug. What do you think about that now that you've had this experience and talked with these families? Do you think that there is no medicinal purpose for cannabis?
No, I first of all, to answer your first question, I do not believe that cannabis and marijuana should be classified as a Schedule I drug. That ruling by our federal government, that decision, has made it so that, again, pharmaceutical companies or anybody for that matter cannot take this plant, this naturally grown plant, and test it and see if there is any medicinal purposes. That's out of the scope now of any business that wants to stay within the bounds of the federal law. So I highly recommend anybody listening or anybody that you come in contact with, to encourage them to contact their federal legislators, that their congressmen, their senators, and put pressure on them to remove marijuana, cannabidiol oil from Schedule One, and at minimum put on Schedule Two, so that again we can start some of these tests and procedures to see if there is any benefit. And I believe the results will come back that there are, because right now we're having to rely upon studies that are done in other countries, and just because they're done in other countries, there's a lot of skepticism about it, and you don't have the comfort of some that are done here in the U.S.
That is correct. I agree with you, sir. And as governor for the state of Georgia, will you support medical marijuana legislation if it is voted in by legislators?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I mentioned that the last day of session I went to before I got elected, that whenever the bill didn't pass, my first legislative session that I went to when I was an elected official, we passed medical marijuana, the cannabis order. But one thing that just really baffled me was we made it illegal to possess this cannabidiol oil, but there was no way for anybody to get access to it. So as governor, I believe that it's very important that we grow marijuana here in this state under highly regulated conditions, but that we would grow it, we process it, and we make it so that people have safe access to the cannabidiol oil here in the state of Georgia.
Yes, because now patients are forced to leave the state to get their medicine. And like you said, I think that's poor planning on legislators' parts, and I think there's a better way to do it right here within our state. Are you aware of hemp and what it can do as a product, as an industrial product?
Yes.
And what are your thoughts about hemp legislation and cultivation within the state?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right now in the U.S., in the USA, in our country, we are importers of hemp. And Kentucky, I believe, is the state. They have kind of taken on that, and they're growing and using the hemp industry to help to further their economy. And I feel like here in Georgia, we have the climate, we have the rural parts of the state that can heavily benefit economically from us here in Georgia, again, capitalizing on that demand that we have here in the USA, and not to import it, but to actually grow it here in Georgia. I think there's humongous economic opportunities.
Absolutely. Thank you for understanding that. we also know that House Bill 645 is up for vote this session, and the House bill pretty much summarizes that if this is passed, the state will allow universities to bid on licensing for cultivation of cannabis in order to produce the cannabis oil that registered patients need within the state. How would you go about determining which HBCU is guaranteed one of those type of licenses? You know, for example, what qualifications would you want them to meet in order to get those types of licenses?
Well, again, I believe that we need to highly regulate this from a couple different angles. One, just for safety. We want to make sure that we know what's growing, that we know the quality of the oil coming out, and that the patients, when they get this drug, that they, again, know exactly what they're getting. When you look at kind of Arkansas, what they've done, or even, I know this might sound a little silly, but you look at Idaho, what they've done with how they attract their potatoes from spud to market, and just, again, the oversight and the control over that. I would look at what institutions have the skill sets, the expertise, and being able to create that control environment and track it all the way through, again, for the safety of those that are going to be utilizing it.
Absolutely. Regulation is important, and we see that other states have figured out how to do that and set up a system that allows that to happen. And so I'm excited to have those discussions with legislators and understand how they're going to go about doing that. And it's a good thing that other states have already done it, so we don't have to come up with the formula ourselves. It's actually possible to just copy and paste, right?
Exactly. That's one of the things I love about our country is we have 50 different states that are basically incubators for public policy ideas and new innovations. And in this instance, we can take some of the work that other states have done and either copy it or try to make it a little bit better here in Georgia.
Yes, absolutely. Another aspect of what we know that cannabis and the war on drugs has done to different communities, you know, are the fact that people are getting locked up for possession of this plant, for distribution of this plant, even in states where it is legal, recreational or medicinally. But there are a few states like Florida who are new to medical marijuana distribution and medical marijuana legislation within their state that have gone as far as creating programs like Project Clean Slate, which in conjunction with organizations like Minority for Medical Marijuana have figured out how to expunge those type of charges from people's records and so that they can move forward with their lives if they are found within regulation to have just had personal possession of marijuana, for example, less than an ounce. Would you be, what are your thoughts about doing something similar here in Georgia? If something like that, if you became governor and within 2 years we are a medical marijuana state, would you take into consideration helping to get those people that have criminal charges, their records expunged?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be completely open to looking at that and to seeing, you know, how has the implementation of this law negatively impacted the lives of those who were maybe trying to comply but didn't understand it or whatever the case may be. And one of the things that I've seen here in Georgia is that, one, we use our prison system, our jails, to house those that are really mentally ill and they need mental health. And that could be because, you know, they are self-medicating with opioids or marijuana for whatever purposes or whatnot. So we need to take a better look at those people that we're locking up and help decide, is that the best place for them as an individual as well as for the taxpayers of Georgia? Is that the best utilization? And then also, one of the things that I've learned as a state senator is that here in Georgia, we have some of the highest rates of citizens that are on probation across the country. Mm. And the reason for that is because if you are poor and you get fined with a penalty, something as simple as failing to stop at a stop sign, and you can't afford to pay that ticket, you get put on probation, and what might be a $125 ticket ends up being $500 or $600. And it ends up being that way because you were too poor to pay the $125 ticket to begin with. So you were put on probation, and then the costs are so much higher. It just doesn't make sense what we're doing right now as far as some of the criminal justice and probation. So I think all of that kind of works together with what you're talking about.
Thank you for that. It's definitely something that needs to be revised and looked at so that we can change, because I believe the same thing. What we're doing is not working. So how can us as citizens, as constituents of the state of Georgia, how can we affect how legislators vote on these certain bills that we feel so passionately about? Now, these major bills are in your hands as legislators to vote on. How do we let you know? How does that process work?
Yeah, that is a great question. And let me reassure you and anybody else that might be listening that legislators, especially during session, they hear and they respond to emails and to phone calls. I've seen bills where it might come out of the House and it might pass unanimously in the House side. The public finds out about it and there is a tremendous outcry against, a bill that had passed. And then the senators, we get the message, and it definitely might not pass by the margin, or it might not pass and be heard at all. So, and the reason I say that is because reach out, call, email, touch your state senator or your state rep, and let them know that you're in favor of this bill and of this measure, so that they will know that there's people out there whose lives is going to affect and that there's support for it. So that's probably the biggest thing I can say is, again, reach out and just touch and let your representative know how you feel.
What method is best to reach you? Would you say calls or appointments, walk-ins or email? Well, what is the most effective for your constituents to reach you?
Yeah, I am. I try to be very open and accessible. My email, we do a good job of trying to respond, personally responding to all the emails. I have a great admin at the Capitol that I take phone calls and pass those messages along to me. And then also, I have my cell phone out there. And a lot of people kind of laugh and chuckle and say, "Mom, but that's a pretty good gimmick. How many cell phones do you have?" And I tell people I have one cell phone, and it's the cell phone that my wife and my mom used to call me. So I give people my cell phone number. They can call me and talk to me on my phone.
And I can attest to that fact that, yes, sir, that is how I reached you. You told me to call you on your cell phone, reach out, leave a message if you didn't answer, and that's what I did. And you called me back to schedule this interview. So I can definitely say that is a fact. So thank you for that, and thank you for being honest about that. Well, February 1st, next Thursday, is Peachtree Normal's Lobby Day down at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to be starting around 8 a.m. inside the Capitol, but taking a rally outside about noon. So will you stop by and introduce yourself to our listeners and the people coming
absolutely.
To support? Great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
I'll be there.
Looking forward to seeing you. And then how can listeners follow you or contribute to your campaign? What is the best way for them to be able to do that? Give us that information, please.
Yeah, you can go to Facebook, you know, and follow us on Facebook, and just it's Michael Williams, Governor. It'll pop up on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. My handle there is at Williams, F-O-R-G-A, so at Williams 4-G-A. And then also our website. It's WilliamsGeorgia.com, and you can go there and sign up to be a volunteer to get the yard signs, bumper stickers, all those different things. Because I am in session, currently a state senator, and I didn't resign my seat to run for governor. I made a commitment to my constituents when they elected me that I'd fulfill my office. But because of that, because I'm a state senator and in session right now, I cannot accept financial contributions. We can't accept those until after session is done, which is going to be March 29th. So, but you can sign up, volunteer, request bumper stickers and stuff like that. We just cannot accept financial donations until the end of March.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for that information. I did not know that if you didn't resign. Yeah. But thank you so much again, Senator. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come and speak with us today. And we will see you next week. I will be at the lobby day at the Capitol on Thursday.
All right.
And so I look forward to seeing you again. And thanks again.
All right, well, thanks again for having me, Nicole. I look forward to seeing you on the 1st.
Thanks again to Senator Michael Williams for joining the Cannabis Connection World Podcast. We wish more politicians would think like him and understand the value that this plant brings to their own communities.
Cannabis Connection Calendar, informing you where and how to connect with other cannabis enthusiasts like you.
Welcome to the Cannabis Connection Calendar, the segment where I share with you some of the events that are happening within the state of Georgia concerning the cannabis industry. Whether directly or indirectly, the events I discuss have an effect on Georgia's cannabis community. Please note that all events are normally free and open to the public, unless I otherwise specify. First up, tomorrow, Monday, January 29th at 6 p.m. in the Etowah Room at the Cartersville Civic Center, located at 435 West Main Street. Join us at this town hall meeting for a lively discussion on how we move forward after the Cartersville 70 sparked so much interest. On Wednesday, January 31st, tune in to WAOK 1380 AM if you are in Atlanta. If not, you can hear the station live on the TuneIn app. I will be interviewed on the Movement Morning Show at 8 a.m., discussing the effects of what the lack of education or misinformation about the cannabis plant has had in our communities. Then, on Wednesday night, I will host the monthly Minorities for Medical Marijuana meeting in Atlanta, which will be at Mango's Restaurant, located at 180 Auburn Avenue, from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. I invite you to come and mix and mingle with fellow cannabis enthusiasts and learn how you can be a part of the movement. The next day, on Thursday, February 1st, Peachtree Normal and the Georgia Care Project will host their Legalization and Lobby Day at the state capitol. Join us for a rally and a day of lobbying beginning at 8 a.m. under the Golden Dome on Capitol Avenue, downtown Atlanta. Then next week, on February 7th, I will be featured on the Facebook and radio broadcast of the Courier newspaper's presentation of Under the Dome, A Black Perspective, hosted from the state capitol in Atlanta. Columbus Day in Atlanta is an annual event that exposes investors of the chamber and representatives of the region to state agencies directly impacting our community. I hope to see you at all of these events. Be sure to introduce yourself and let me know what you think about the show. I will be live streaming all of the events I attend on my Facebook page at Mary Jane Connectors. If you have any questions about the events I listed today, please email me at info@cannabisconnectionworld.com. Looking forward to connecting with you. Don't forget, Cannabis Connectors, you can follow all the adventures of the podcast on Instagram at Cannabis Connection Podcast, or on Facebook at Mary Jane Connectors, or on Twitter at CannaConWorld. That's CannaConN World. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Cannabis Connection World. In the next episode, you will learn more about medical marijuana and how it is shaping legislation right here in Georgia in the cannabis class. I will interview a doctor that prescribes cannabis as medicine to their patients for treatment. And I am bringing back the Cannabis Chronicles. You will learn more about a man known as Cannamedic and his personal cannabis story. New episode every Sunday at 4:20 p.m. on Podomatic.com. You don't want to miss it.